All right, I'm going to ask you this evening to turn with me to the book of Revelation and chapter number 21. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. If you get to the maps, you've gone too far. Before church began this evening, Miss Montine, I told her I was going to preach on heaven tonight. And she asked me, she said, Brother Lewis, she said, do you think people in heaven can look down on us? And, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I lean towards no. I would say they've got better things to do than worry about what's going on here on earth. And she said, well, she said, I wanted to surprise Grady. I'm telling this story. She said, as you know, Miss Montine's been widowed for 28 years. And she said, Grady said that she was going to find her a new husband before he ever got cold. And she used to pick with him about that. I said, Montine, I said, as long as y'all done been separated, he probably thinks you done gone the other way. I mean, you ain't going to make it to heaven. But let's talk about heaven tonight. And I don't know, but if faithfulness means anything, that woman right there, I'll make it glory.
Amen.
I tell you
that.
Thank God for it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. God's word says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you?
Amen, brother.
Tonight I want to talk to you a little while about heaven's centerpiece. Heaven's centerpiece. Has anyone ever told you that you just had to try something? That there was something that was just so good that you just had to try it? Perhaps a recipe that they had cooked, or some place that they had been that was just, quote, out of this world. But then when you actually tried it, you really didn't think it was all that great. You didn't understand why they were so excited about it to begin with. Not long after we had moved here, somebody had said to us, I don't even know who it was, but someone had said to us, there's a certain restaurant you've got to go check out. They make this certain whatever it was, and said, man, it's really good. You've got to go. And eventually we did go, and I don't know if we just caught them on a bad day or a bad batch, but I promise you, it wasn't all that. And I can tell you for sure, it wasn't like mama's cooking.
Amen.
That I guarantee you. But this much I am sure of. Heaven's centerpiece will not disappoint.
Amen.
Now, I'm told that the Grand Canyon, I've never been there, but I'm told that the Grand Canyon is one of those sites that it will not disappoint you. It meets all expectations. Everybody who's been there says, man, it is just remarkably gorgeous. And I would say, dear saint, if God could paint such a gorgeous portrait in a fallen world, can you just imagine how beautiful heaven must be?
Amen.
Heaven will live up to all the hype, and then some.
Amen.
I suppose that every believer, and certainly those more seasoned saints, has given some lengthy thought to the splendors of heaven. Now, one of the things I believe that God does as you mature in the Lord and you grow, you lose your appetite for the things of this earth, and you gain a greater appetite for the things of heaven. And so I say probably most of us have some image in their mind of what heaven would be like, but I think it would be fair to say that heaven's going to be greater than anything that we could dream of.
Amen.
For some people, the afterlife is a mystery, something that you cannot be certain about. I remember preaching the funeral of a godly old preacher, godly old man. He died in Bristol, Tennessee, and I preached his funeral. And just a couple days later, his daughter called me, and she said, "Brother Lewis, do you really believe my daddy is in heaven?"
Amen.
And I said, "Yes, honey, I do. Just as surely as he was trusted in Jesus, I believe right now he is with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." See, there's really no reason for us to wonder whether or not there is a place called heaven. Heaven is for real. And not just because some little boy and his family wrote a book about it. Heaven is for real because God's Word declares that it is real.
Amen.
Jesus himself said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There is a real, literal place called heaven. Amen. And one of these dear friends, I believe we're going to bust through the sky and enter into that place called heaven. I hope you're looking forward to it. Now, I don't intend tonight to try to cover everything that God's Word has to say about heaven or eternity, but I want to take just a few steps through the book of Revelation together this evening, because listen, Revelation is an inspired account from a man that had an angelic tour guide that walked him through glory.
Amen.
And I think that'd be somebody good to learn from, don't you?
Amen.
I believe that John here is given uniquely a glimpse of this glorious place and then was commissioned by God to write it down with us. You know, people say, stay away from the book of Revelation. Well, Revelation chapter 1 says, blessed is the one that reads the book and studies this book. So rather than being afraid of it, we're blessed to study this book. God, you know, the very word revelation means unveiling and making clear. And so God doesn't want us to be in the dark about what lies in our future. In fact, he's given us this book to give us a certain amount of knowledge and understanding of what is in the future for God's saints. And I hope that this little study would enrapture your heart and encourage you in the midst of life's difficult days. For just a little while, this evening, I want to point your minds forward and upward to a time and a place that is both certain and sure.
Amen.
For all of those who are found safe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now verses 4 and 5 right here tell us that there are going to be some changes. And I thank God for them, don't you?
Amen.
It tells us that the old struggles are going to vanish away and all things are going to become new. Let's just read it again. Verse 4 and 5, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There'll be no more pain, for all these former things are passed away and all things are become new." Now listen, I know that to some of you I'm still relatively a young man, but I still share my percentage of aches and pains. I bear in my body the marks of the fall. I know what it means to hurt. And I tell you this, dear friends, I just well imagine that as the years roll on, I'll even be even more excited about sitting down these old worn out bodies of ours.
Amen.
Not having to fight against the sickness that comes and the pains and the sorrows that come. I'm glad that there's a place that leukemia can't get a hold of.
Amen.
A little girl, preacher Leland Collins, a friend of mine, had sat there and watched that 70-something-year-old man mourn over his 22-year-old daughter's been diagnosed with leukemia. I'm glad there's a place that is cancer-free, and it's a place called heaven. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering. Whenever we go to the nursing home, I like to remind people that there's a place that doesn't have walkers and wheelchairs. And there's not a bunch of old people limping around, but everybody's young and strong and vibrant. There's not going to be a funeral home in all of heaven.
Amen.
I'm excited about that. I've spent plenty of times with them. But even as exciting as that is, folks, that's really not what heaven's going to be all about.
Amen.
In verses 21 and 22, look at this in chapter 21. Look down at verse 21 and 22. "And the 12 gates had 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. John said, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple."
Amen.
Jump over to chapter 22. Look at verse 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation.
Amen.
I said that to say this, read that to point your mind to this. There are going to be some glorious sights in heaven. Golden streets, pearly gates, a river that flows from the throne of God that has water in it, crystal clear water. There'll be a tree there that produces this wonderful fruit that I believe we'll eat and enjoy.
Amen.
And I tell you one of these things, there are going to be some glorious sights in heaven, glorious sounds in heaven, glorious smells in heaven, if you will. I'm looking forward to hearing that celestial choir sing in perfect unison. Brother Jerry and I, we like to cut up a little bit about which one of us is the best singer. Nah, we don't really argue that out, but we both say, I wish I could sing, and he says, I wish you could too. We agree on that. But one of these days, I'm going to be able to sing. I'll be able to lift my voice in perfect harmony. And I tell you this, it ain't going to be because of my talent. It'll be because of what God has done. I'm looking forward to the sights and sounds and smells of glory, to see men and women from every tongue and nation and tribe rolling down Redemption Road and singing, Worthy is the Lamb. I'm looking forward to that. I want to hear the soothing sounds of the rippling waters flowing down that river of life. I want to think about that sweet taste from that heavenly fruit that is hanging from the tree of life. I want to see those streets of gold, those glorious and magnificent gates of pearl. I want to see those things, enjoy those things. But can I also say, that's not the best that heaven has to offer?
Amen.
Also, we know that in heaven, there'll be no more sin, no more curse. Look at verse number 27. Chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, that celestial city, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look at chapter 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Every saved person is yearning to leave behind this old sinful nature. Aren't you looking forward to leaving this old body of death behind?
Amen.
Like you, I'm sick of sin. I'm tired of turning on the evening news and seeing the ugliness of sin that is on display in this fallen world around us. But I'm not just sick of all the sin that's out there. I'm sick of all the sin that's in here.
Amen.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I am still a sinner, saved by grace. And I still get sick of myself and the things that I think or say or do. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to leave this old body of sin behind and be given a new body. And there'll be no more curse there. Won't you be glad when you don't have to fight with temptation anymore?
Amen.
You don't have to fight with sin and Satan anymore? When you set all of that down and enter into that rest that God has prepared for them that love Him. This world's cursed by sin. I'm cursed by sin. I get disgusted with myself. But one of these days, this battle between the old and the new is going to be set down.
Amen.
Won't have to battle it anymore. I promise you, in all of heaven, neither Satan nor his wicked warriors will be allowed to enter in there.
Amen.
All the devilish dances that Satan does right now are going to end one of these days when he's cast into the lake of fire. Temptation will be banished. Sin will be gone. What a glorious day.
Amen.
That will be. But even as great as that is, that's not the highlight of heaven.
Come on.
Chapter 5, verse 9. Let's just turn right back there just a minute. We got ample time tonight. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 9. It makes reference to this huge mass of people that are going to be gathered together in glory. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 9, and they sung a new song. I got news for y'all who don't like to sing new songs. You might as well get used to it. We're going to sing a new song in glory.
Amen.
And they sung a new song, chapter 5, verse 9, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Listen to this. By thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. I'm looking forward to the countless masses of people who are going to be in heaven.
Amen.
Out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, nation, every background, every part of society, all these things that we make so much a deal of now, color of skin, all that's going to fade away one of these. Not going to matter one bit. There are going to be people there from all over. What the Bible says, a number that no man can number.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of these old Bible characters. And I get into this, and what we were talking a little bit about, what we were talking about. I don't know, and I readily admit this, I don't know how much memory we're going to have in heaven. I don't know how much we're going to remember from this earth. Honestly, I don't know how much we want to remember from this earth. But I do think, you know, you remember that rich man that died in the book of Luke, that rich man that died and went to hell, he was able to remember some things. So I think we'll at least be able to remember some of the things from this life. I don't think we're going to lose all of our memory. Hey, some things I thank God I'm going to forget. I wish I could forget them now. But there's some things that I'm sure are going to be gone. But so I don't know. I said that to say this. I don't know if Noah will remember everything about building that ark. But I wouldn't be surprised if he remembered some of it and could tell us about what it was like. About floating around in the safety of the ark while all the world was being destroyed around him. I'd like to listen to David talk about facing Goliath, if he can remember some of that. I'm interested in, if God allows it, listening to Ruth talk about the first time she laid eyes on Boaz.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that, because I think that's a little bit how we're going to feel when we see Jesus.
Amen.
How she felt when she saw Boaz. And I've shared this with y'all before, I'm also a little bit anxious about meeting these Bible characters we've been studying and them telling me, boy, you sure got that wrong. So, I mean, that's a real possibility, too. So, but I'm looking forward to who's going to be in heaven, these friends and family and loved ones. I'm sitting right here looking at some people right now that I know you're looking forward to seeing some people on the other side.
Amen.
One of the things about getting older is you start knowing more people on that side than you do on this side. Amen. Isn't that how it is? I'm looking forward to seeing some family, some friends. I know some of you have buried some sweet loved ones. And buried a spouse, buried a child, buried a sister, a brother, a mother, a father. I know y'all looking forward to seeing them again. But even as great as that glorious reunion's going to be, with all of these loved ones, let me gently say, not even that will be the centerpiece of heaven. Dear friends, the best part of heaven is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is heaven's centerpiece. All of eternity will be focused around the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing I believe that heaven has to offer will be the privilege of enjoying God and worshiping Him and falling at His feet forever.
Amen.
That, dear friends, I believe is the highlight of heaven. That is what heaven's centerpiece is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, in verses 22 through 26 in this passage, in chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. We're going to get to enjoy that one of these days. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved, did you get that? Of them which are saved, are you saved tonight? Because that's the only ones going to get to enjoy that. Those that are saved, the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there.
Amen.
And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Do you see what the centerpiece of heaven is going to be? Not the brilliance of the sun. No, we're not going to need the sun anymore. Not the reflection of the moon. No, we're not going to need that anymore. The glory of heaven is going to be the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's unspeakably beautiful. You read This 21st chapter is unspeakably beautiful as that new Jerusalem is going to be. Not even that holy city is going to be the centerpiece of heaven. Jesus will be the centerpiece of heaven. Amen. I got some news for my dear Baptist friends. Nobody's going to bow down at the feet of the bride. They're going to bow down at the feet of the bridegroom. Amen. We will be worshiping Jesus, not the city and not the bride. We're going to be worshiping Him. Dear friends, we're not going to worship some building. We're going to worship the builder, Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I've gone to prepare this place for you. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we're going to be thrilled with the sights and the reunion and the glories of heaven and the majesties of it. But it is not the material construction, but the divine designer to whom we will pay all of our homage to.
Yes, amen.
I suppose that there are some people who have the idea that when we get to heaven, that we're just going to be floating around on fluffy white clouds, laid back in some heavenly hammock, taking it easy. And while it is true, and thank God for this, while it is true that there is a rest for the people of God, that rest that really what that rest is talking about is resting from the trials of this life, resting from the troubles of this life, resting from the temptations, resting from the tribulations of this life. Heaven's not going to be a break from God. Instead, heaven's going to be all about God,
Amen.
About honoring Him, about praising Him, about glorifying Him, extolling Him, worshiping Him. Do you get the theme there? It's all about Him.
Amen.
That's what heaven's going to be about. So let me tell you this. If you don't like being around the things of God, the people of God, or the Word of God, you're not going to be happy in God's heaven.
Amen.
More likely, I might say, if you don't like those things, you're probably not going to make it to God's heaven.
Amen.
If you don't like talking about God, why you want to go to heaven where it's all going to be about God?
Amen.
If you don't like corporate worship, why you want to go to heaven where it's going to be all about worshiping Him?
Amen.
If you don't like singing and preaching, why you want to go to glory?
Amen.
Where we're going to be singing and proclaiming Him.
Amen.
That's what heaven's going to be about. I tell you, if you learn anything else about or anything else from the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation will teach you all of eternity is going to be about Jesus.
Amen.
It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's
Amen.
What it is. Oh, this book, if you don't, we can argue long and loud about pre, post, amill. We can get all that, all you want to. But when it's all said and done, are you ready to meet King Jesus?
Amen.
That's really what it's about, because all of heaven is going to be about Him. I don't think any of us are going to go through glory and be unhappy or sad or miserable or any of those kind of things. But, dear friends, if you don't delight in God now, you're not going to delight in God then.
Amen.
Beloved, now, listen to this. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
You want to know what's real sweet? I'm going to be like Jesus one day.
Amen.
You know what's going to be even sweeter? You're going to be like Jesus one of these days. I'd be easy to love. Some of y'all are not so easy to love. Now, I just say that just joking, but you understand my point? You know what Jesus prayed in John 17? Really, this is just hours before He is betrayed and led away to be crucified. Father, I pray that they would be one even as we are one. That's what heaven's going to be about. All the bickering and fighting and arguing and stuff we want to get into and a denominational this and that, all that's going to stop one of these days.
Amen.
And we're just going to bow down at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
They're not going to be one person. I said this last week, but you work so hard on something, you hope somebody hears it. They're not going to be one person running through the pearly gates, beating on their chest, while throngs of people honor and praise them. Oh no, dear friends, we're all going to be bragging about how great Jesus is.
Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
John said, I laid down and started crying. He said, I went to go open the seals of that thing and wasn't nobody found worthy to open. John said, I laid down and won't start crying. And angel said, don't cry. Worthy is the Lamb to loose the seals thereof. Worthy is the Lamb. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And dear friends, if we are privileged to receive any crowns, you know what we're going to do with them? Cast them back at the feet of Jesus. Amen. That's exactly why. Why?
Amen.
Because he alone's worthy. I don't know if you get the idea that you're going to strut through heaven with a crown on your head and everybody's going to come down and say, man, you must have really done something down there on earth. No, I'm going to take that crown. If I can get one, you get one. We're going to take the crown and throw them down at the feet of King Jesus. Amen. Thou art worthy,
Amen.
O Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because we've been bought by his blood, we've been sought by his love, and we've been brought by his spirit. It's all about him.
Yeah.
And I tell you, if that don't give you, if that ain't shouting ground, there ain't no shouting ground.
Yeah.
We're simply God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
Do you remember me saying this last week? What is the chief duty of man? Remember this. The chief duty of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Amen.
That is the chief duty of man. And through Adam's rebellion, we all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And now we are lost, depraved sinners, both unable and unwilling to delight ourselves in the very purpose of our existence. Do you get that? We were created to glorify God and enjoy him. But because of our sin nature, we glorify ourselves and delight in the things of the flesh. We are now unable and unwilling to do the very thing for which we were created, except for a place called Calvary Hillside, where Jesus suffered and died. And now through his death and his resurrection, we are what we lost in the first Adam, we regained in the last Adam. What we lost in the fall, we regained through the perfect life and obedience of Jesus. We are born spiritually dead, but God, who is able to bring life from death, reaches down into our hearts and our souls and borns us again, quickens us by the power of his Spirit, so that now we are able to do what we were created to do.
Amen.
Enjoy God, delight in God, and glorify him forever. This, dear friends, is the great work of our Redeemer. What was lost in the first has been regained in the last. You know, I'm not going to take time to read the story, but in 1 Samuel 4, there's this story of this little Jewish lady. Sad story, and I don't have time to build all of it, but she was, what I'd say, very pregnant. She was going into labor, hard labor. Her husband is killed. Her father-in-law is killed. There's a great battle going on with the Philistines. And the Ark of God is stolen from Israel. And this grieves her. She goes into hard labor. She's grieved by the loss. Her husband's killed at war. Her father-in-law's killed at war. And the Ark of God, which is what? The glory of God, the manifest glory of God, it's stolen away. And she gives birth to a son. And the handmaidens there, those servants, those ladies are trying to encourage her. And they try to place the son into her lap for her to nurse and love. And she refuses to take this son. And instead, she names him Ichabod. Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. And she died. Now, it grieved her that her husband had died. It grieved her that her father-in-law, who was a priest, had died. But I think this godly woman was also grieved that the glory of God had departed from Israel. And she named her son Ichabod to remind them of this terrible occasion. Folks, when we sin, in fact, you may say it like this. When Adam sinned in the garden, God drove him out of the garden and placed the name Ichabod over the garden. The glory of the Lord has departed. When we sin, when we rebel against God, God could stamp Ichabod on our depraved human heart. The glory of the Lord has departed. But thank God, through the redemptive work of Christ, the name Ichabod can be removed and we can enter back into that glorious place that Christ has prepared for us. Really, the analogy of it, us entering back into where the tree of life is, because God in the person of his Son has redeemed us. The name Ichabod, the glory of the Lord is departed. It can now be removed. And now we can be called the sons of God,
Amen.
The children of God. And in his folks, it's just a matter of time. I told them over at the nursing home this afternoon. I said, y'all don't know this. We may not be here next month. The Lord might come. As far as I know, the next great event on God's calendar is the rapture of the saints. And one of these days, He's going to bust through that sky and usher us into glory. We may not be here. One of these days, that glory that we have been created to display and enjoy, one of these days it's going to be ours.
Amen.
Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In truth, what will make heaven heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is heaven's centerpiece. You know what I have to say? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Isn't that how it closed right there in the Revelation? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. God bless you. I love you. I hope you're saved tonight, because this is for the saved.
Amen.
This is for who God has loved and given Himself for. You know, if we could, we'd reach down into the head of all of our loved ones, pour Jesus right in, but we can't. But we can try to live a life that manifests His saving grace. As you leave here today, think about eternity. Think about what really matters. You want a hard truth? Even hell will burn to the glory of God. God will receive glory. Let's pray that God would do it by showing love and mercy to those who oppose themselves.